I can remember this moment so vividly. I was a younger pastor at the time. I was traveling, trying to make an impact in the world, and I was in another place, in another time zone, and I knew that I had a very early flight in order to get where I'm supposed to go, and so I set the alarm, and I don't know if you ever had this happen, but I woke up, and I realized the alarm had not gone off, and my flight was leaving very quickly after that, and so my first thought was, I set the alarm. What happened? And then it dawned on me. I set it on p.m. instead of a.m. And so the alarm never went off. And I can remember thinking, how am I going to get cleaned up, get to the airport, get on that plane, and not miss my flight? And I can remember I took the fastest shower in the history of mankind. Because the truth is that you saw me in the morning before this hair is groomed. It is probably I would be thrown off the plane by TSA. I mean, that's how bad it looks. They would think I look like a terrorist because the truth is that it goes everywhere. And so I get in that shower. I do all that quickly. I do make the flight. But it reminded me that you have to check the details in order to make sure you know what's going on or you may miss a flight, may miss an opportunity. Well, I went into ministry when I was 20 years old, 40 years ago, and I had a recurring nightmare every single Saturday night. I would wake up in the night and think that I was going to be late for church. And the dream would always be the same dream. I'm waking up about the time church is over. And, I mean, it's vivid. I could hear the pastor saying, every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm waking up. My head has been bowed. My eyes have been closed. I missed the whole service. And it happened for years because when I was young, like many of you, I loved to sleep. When I got my age now, it's not an issue. I don't have to set a lot of alarms. I have to set two or three different things to wake me up. I'm at the age where I wake up very quickly. But back in those days, the alarm would always remind me, and more than one alarm would always remind me it's time to get moving. Now, once I got up, I was fine. But I needed that wake-up call, something to wake me up in order to experience what I was supposed to do that day. And it's interesting because my whole life was riding on being at church on Sunday. Now, all of you don't have to be that responsible, but I was. I worked at the church. I had to be there. And so every Saturday night, I'd go to bed and say, now, Lord, help me sleep good tonight. And you know what I'd do? I'd wake up all during the night. You ever had this happen? You wake up at 1, you wake up at 2, you wake up at 3, you wake up at 4. Why? Because you don't want to be late. You want to miss something. And I look back across my life over the last 40 years, how many moments I probably missed because I didn't set this spiritual alarm inside of me. The moment I could encourage someone, the moment I could bless someone, the moment I could inspire someone, the alarm wasn't set, and so I missed it. And so today, as you think about your own life, today we look at what happens when we have a wake-up call and we start acting now, not waiting. Well, wake-up call for each one of us. And today, I want to look at two texts of Scripture that I think will help you see. So here's what you discover. Jesus knew something. Jesus knew the most dangerous thing for all of us was not some horrible sin that would take us away from his purpose. It was for us to fall asleep in what he wanted us to do. Because the truth of the matter, in this room, very few people are going to jump into some horrible experience or some horrible thing because they realize, I don't want to live that way. But what happens is if you're not careful, you find yourself in a place where you miss the best because you're not alert. And alertness is a very key quality of anyone who's effective in life because when you're alert, something begins to happen. And begins to move forward inside of you. In fact, it's interesting because I was reading a study last night, and it was a recent study that had to do with how quickly people make assessments of others, how quickly they hit. And it's interesting because the study that I read last night said within 7 seconds, someone decides whether they like you or not. So all of you who are visiting, I hope you like me because I only had 7 seconds to make the impression. So what did I do? I walk in here not like I'm lumbering along looking for a direction. I know where I'm headed. I know what it is he wants to do in my life. So today we find ourselves in a place where we find a guy who goes to church. Church goes a little bit longer than he intended. The teaching extends longer. And he's a teenager. So all you teenagers better pay attention now because this teenager was sitting in a balcony, just like many of you in a balcony, and fell out of the balcony during the middle of church. Fell right out and died. Right in front of everybody. Now, I would not want any of you in the balcony to come falling down here in front of us. Because we would be startled. It did not startle the Apostle Paul, though, because the Apostle Paul realized something. That he realized that it was not the end of this boy's story. And you've got to think about this for a moment. Do you think he ever sat in that same place again when he went to church? I doubt it. Do you think he ever let both eyes close? I doubt it. And I have to confess this, years ago we were on a mission trip. And on this mission trip, and there are 100-plus people on the team, many teenagers and First Baptist. It was a great trip. And it was interesting because we found ourselves in a very hot room where the temperature is about 120 degrees inside the room. No air conditioning. And I don't know if you ever had this experience, because I'm sitting there, and it's kind of like this. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, one eye won't open up. I mean, I'm just like, one eye, all right? And I'm like, Lord, you can't let me sleep. Have you ever prayed prayers like this in the middle of your journey? I said, Lord, you can't let me sleep. And the other eye closed. Then I tried to open the other one. My eyes were so heavy that I thought, I'm going to sleep through my assignment. I'm going to miss my opportunity to do what I'm supposed to do. And anybody who was on that trip realized it was so hot. Let me tell you how hot it was. It was so hot that the guy who was taking pictures, it melted his flesh. That's how hot it was. But it was also hot enough for my eyes to close. And I sat there saying, oh, Lord, please keep me awake until I did my assignment. And I would kind of look around, try to make sure I was awake. I kind of like, oh, I got to stay awake. I can see everyone. And I'm like, and the interesting thing, no matter what I did, I kept getting sleepier. I mean, my eyes were like heavy. And I'll never forget this, because Chester came and sat beside me and said, hey, you know, it's so hot. And we already had about 10 teenagers fall out. And I think they're all going to fall out before we finish. You want to quit early? And I'm sitting there going, praise God, my eyes are not going to be stuck closed. And so we canceled the concert at that point. We ushered everybody out of there. And by the way, there were in that room 500 people willing to sit in 120 degree temperature and enjoy every song. But the preacher was sleeping. I mean, I was like, oh, Lord. Huh. You know, I don't know if you ever shook your head and trying to stay awake. I mean, I did everything. Nothing worked. When I rocked myself, I went deeper to sleep. And I couldn't open my eyes. And here's what I want you to think about. It is exactly how life works. Sometimes we're just rocking along. Sometimes we're just moseying through. Sometimes we're just on path to something. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you get that way, you got to be real careful, because you're going to end up in trouble. Because you may miss the very thing that God wants to do the most through you. The biggest assignment he has for you. So today, as you think about that, I want you to open the Bible to two places. First of all, Matthew chapter 24. Not on the screen, but I want you to look at it, because I want to show you something. And by the way, listen carefully, because I have a brief message that I think will help you think through what would happen if you woke up to the biggest opportunity of your life. What happens if you wake up and go, you know what, this is something God has for me. And you woke up to it, and you began to respond to it. And as you responded to it, God began to use you, and the assignment became more clear. You became more connected to God's purpose. Because the truth of the matter is, watch this, the Purpose-Driven Life book was not the best-selling book in history for no reason. It was written because people were looking for, hey, what has God put me on this earth to do? What does he want to accomplish through me? And so, as you think about that, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is, by the way, doing a lot of things to equip people to face life the way they're supposed to. And in the 24th chapter, he begins to use certain words that have very distinctive meaning and purpose. And today, as you think about this, ask yourself, what happens if I get ready like he's talking about here? Look, if you would, Matthew 24, beginning in verse 42. Watch this carefully. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at the time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master puts in charge of his household to give to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possession. But if the evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkard, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with a hypocrite. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look on over chapter 25, verse 13, just for a second. Notice what Jesus says again. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. A number of years ago, our house was broken into in our first, in our second home, but our second home in Oklahoma City. And I'll never forget it. We were gone to a Southern Baptist Convention, and we got a call that, hey, guess what? Somebody broke in. They stole about $5,000 worth of your stuff. And it was interesting what the police said. We want to warn you, they're probably going to come back again, because you could see where they had perused through stuff but didn't have time to steal everything. And so, being on the alert, we decided, you know what, we're going to make sure this house is lit up really good. We were still gone. We're going to make sure it's all lit up, make sure everything's fine. And lo and behold, they came back, broke in our house again. Now, this is way before days when everybody had an alarm system, so it's a whole different kind of world, and you just have to trust that someone's going to break in your house. And I'll never forget, because second time they broke in, they stole more stuff. And I'm telling Cindy, we may not have anything left when we get back home, because they're taking everything. And so the third time, by the way, we're getting more alert every time because we think the thieves are going to come back again. The third time, listen to me, the third time, we hired a police dog to live in our backyard. With the reality, no one's going to mess with that dog. I'm talking German Shepherd with big teeth. You know what the thief did? Brought a stake. Threw the stake over the fence and ate the stake. The dog ate the stake while they broke in my house again. I replaced the window three times. And here's what you discover. On the fourth time, I called a friend of mine. I said, I know you have a gun. Go sleep on my couch. And when the thief came, by the way, came back number four to steal again. And by the way, it wasn't like we had a lot of stuff. I thought, they're running out of good stuff to get. Maybe they'll steal my tennis shoes or something. I don't know what they're going to steal this time. They've taken our stereo. They've taken our TV. They've taken all this stuff. It's interesting because when the thief came back the fourth time, they jumped the fence. My friend heard them and just flipped on one light. And because my friend was on the alert, he caused them to go, you know what? We're not coming to this house. There's somebody there. And I look back at that. That's been 35, 36 years ago. And yet it's still a vivid memory to me because even though we're on the alert, we're on the alert the way we're supposed to be. And here's what Jesus said. Man, you got to be ready because you don't know the hour. And just in the last few weeks, we've had people telling us about what's going to transpire based on their interpretation of prophetic words, none of which they can actually substantiate in reality to God's word, because truth is, Jesus said it, and listen, if he said it, he takes precedent over everybody else. You're not going to know the hour, not going to know the moment, but he said, you ought to be ready, all right? So, here's what happens to Paul. Acts chapter 20, open your Bible there, because as you're turning there, I want to show you what happens when all of a sudden Paul finds himself with a wake-up call. Now, in Acts chapter 20, I want to remind you of something. This is the beginning of the end of his ministry as far as being able to do things, because he's headed towards Jerusalem, he's headed towards jail, he's headed towards pain and difficulty, he's headed towards heartache, he's headed towards all kinds of things that are going to get the best of him, and yet, in the midst of being heading to Jerusalem, knowing he's going to be beat, knowing he's going to be tortured, knowing he's going to go through difficulty, he still wakes up to what it is God wants to do through him. And it's interesting because his most prolific impact was in Ephesus. And yet in Ephesus, everybody got upset because here's Paul, and he's doing such a great work that people are going to hit. Everybody's turning towards Jesus. Everybody's turning towards God. And what I want you to think about today as we look at this message today is this. Simply this. Have you ever fallen asleep at a critical moment? Have you ever just fallen asleep? In other words, have you missed a moment that was most significant? It was critical, and you didn't realize until later on, you said, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have missed that. I wish I'd not have missed that moment that God had for me. We all have critical moments, moments in which God brings people across our path, moments in which we engage in some opportunity to make a difference in someone's life, moments when we awaken to the reality that we have a short life. And I can tell you right now, life goes by fast. If you're a young adult here, grab your life and live it the best you can because you go through that season very quickly. It passes very quickly. And what you discover is as you begin to become more alert, you begin to see those critical moments God has for you. And listen carefully. Everybody has them. You just have to look for them. Everybody has moments where you have to be alert to them and they come your way because they're going to be moments that touch your heart forever. And you got to grab those moments. And so what happens with Paul finds himself after giant storm, giant conflict, giant fight, he finds himself in Acts chapter 20. And this is the beginning of the end of his missionary work. All right, so what I want to do during these four out of five Sundays, Pastor Ron's preaching on the 15th while I'm gone, but during these four of these five Sundays, I want you to see what happens when you wake up and you act and you experience what God wants to do inside of you, because here's what you're going to discover. This journey, while very difficult and challenging, he never lost sight of his assignment, because he knew what it is God had called him to do. And so in Acts chapter 20, look if you would at verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And notice this phrase, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Which tells you, the guy who fell asleep, he was there a long time. And the Bible says he got in a very comfortable place. He got really warm. You know, we try to keep temperature where you can't sleep in church. We try to keep it just cool enough. You go, oh, I fall asleep, I might die. And what happens? It keeps you awake in the middle of church. And so what happens is, here he's preaching away, and they gather together. They gather together to have the opportunity to have communion, to listen and learn. Because here's what Paul knew. He would never see them again. And he wanted to make sure they didn't miss what it was most important to him. Look on down. If you wouldn't think about this, as you think about how this text unfolds, because I want to show you three things that are keys to every wake-up call we ever get in life. The first one is this, and these are three very significant keys. And by the way, if you don't understand this language, I'll try to explain a little bit carefully so you make sure you don't miss it. The first thing is, you got to be able to have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want you to see. God, in his presence in our life, speaks to us in amazing and powerful ways. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we wake up and think, oh, man, you know what? I don't want to miss that. I don't want to, that opportunity is right in front of me. I need to not miss the moment God's given me. And so we start getting sensitive. Say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And that's why, if you listen carefully a few moments ago, when I talked about this team going on a mission trip, what I said was, the truth is we're all on mission, and the truth is the most powerful part of the mission is not the team going, it's the team praying. Because as the team prays, they beseech the Lord, and they watch him work for over all those who God has called to be able to accomplish his purpose. So the first secret is keeping sensitivity, which, by the way, when you become insensitive, watch this, when you become insensitive, you miss your moments. When you all of a sudden start going, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take that step. I'm not going that far. You miss that moment you have that God has for you. So you have to be sensitized to what it is God wants to do through you. The second thing is this. You got to be alert. And you got to be alert very carefully to any necessary actions he wants you to take. In other words, God may want you to do something really, really powerful, really amazing. And you got to be alert to that. And that alertness allows you to experience something really powerful and amazing inside. Because all of a sudden you wake up and go, whoa, 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 I don't want to miss this. You want to be very alert, very careful to experience what God intends for you. So you get much more in tune. Which, by the way, if you fall asleep, watch this, you'll miss your greatest moments. So you have to be awakened. What it is he wants to do through you. The third key that unfolds, and by the way, when we look at this text, I'm going to show you something, because this guy fell asleep, and a lot of people reacted very strongly because they're astonished. And I tell you what, if Greg Haynes fell out of the balcony, we'd all probably be astonished. Now, he's probably got enough muscles, he'd just bounce off the floor and go right back to back of the balcony. But for some of you, Ian, I mean, it may be a tough fall. I mean, if you come out of there, Phil, I mean, I can't imagine you falling out of there without having to help your neck along. I mean, see, what happens is, we end up, if we're not careful, not being willing to take the action God has for us because we fall asleep. A third and final key is this, and this is so powerful in life. Our openness to obedience will yield such great fruit if we stay awake. If we're just open to it, say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And I'm going to tell you, that is exactly why we end up impacting those that we work with, those that we impact that come our way, that we have a chance to encounter them, because it gives us an openness to say, Lord, I want to obey you. And that's why the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. Because when I obey, what happened? I get charged up about what he wants to do through me. And my obedience opens the door for me to experience what God intends. Now look on down in verse 10, because I want to show you what happens here. Because Eutychus falls out of the balcony, and the Bible says Paul went down, fell upon him, and embracing him, he said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. So what does he say here? He said, you know what? Don't worry. It's not what you think it is. And listen carefully. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by circumstances. We think, man, how am I going to get past this? We get burdened down by some debt we never thought we'd have. We have to face that. We get overwhelmed by some circumstance. We don't know which way to turn. We get challenged by some issue at work. We don't know what thing we're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, we open our hearts up to say, Lord, I just obey you. because I know you're going to bring life back to whatever it is I'm facing. And so I want to show you three very distinctive things that come out of the text that are important for you to see. First of all, the challenge, because here there's this challenge that Paul has. And look, if you would, beginning in verse 1, after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples. And when he exhorted them, he had taken leave of them. He left to go into Macedonia, which tells you something. Where he's going, always on purpose. Always on purpose. In other words, he didn't know initially because he wanted to go to Jerusalem, but he wanted to go certain places to be able to say one more time, hey, hang in there, don't let up. Hang in there, don't miss this. And he wanted to go to Corinth because he heard the Corinthians were messing up big time. They had fallen asleep at the opportunity of their Christian faith. And so imagine what happens if all of a sudden you're sitting in church and you awaken to something. You go, you know what, man, I can make this happen. Which, by the way, it doesn't take a super saint to make a great impact. It doesn't take somebody who's memorized the whole Bible to stay alert. It doesn't take someone who said, you know what, I don't think I can ever measure up. It's not about your measurement. God holds the ruler. He holds the ruler. He measures out our lives. And each one of us, he's granted something to us to be ready, to be alert. And I think that's why when you look at in Thessalonians and you look at these other books of the Bible, Colossians, there's always this idea of being alert, alertness, alertness, alertness. And what it does, it causes us to go, you know what, I don't want to miss this. I want to see what God has for me. I want to be alert and accomplish his purpose. So the first thing I want you to show you is this. Very clearly, this challenge was set before him as an opportunity. Now, if you read the in verse 1, it uses the word after the uproar, which tells you in the previous chapter, in chapter 19, it tells the whole story of the big giant fight. All right. Now, I want to show you something. Look at verse 10, because I want to show you the verb tense of the word uproar shows up in verse 10 when he says, do not be troubled. So here's what he's saying. You're going to have some storms in life. You're going to have some uproars. You're going to have some things come your way. I was driving down the football game yesterday, and we looked up, and we saw a trailer we thought belonged to a friend of ours dragging down 85 South. And then we realized he was kind of moving a lot of different directions, and we realized that that trailer, watch this, that truck and trailer had smashed the rear end of another car. And I looked at Eddie and said, you know what, you got to be alert when you're out here. Because I watched this pattern, all these cars going like this. All these cars. Even last Friday, I'm driving out of the church right here between the first stoplight and the second stoplight. I'm driving out, and there's a business area back in there, so there's a lot of cars always trying to get out to get on to the road there. And one car stopped, which is the lane the person wanted in, but I wasn't stopping because I didn't have a stop sign. I was assigned, move it, because my light was green. And the other light was green, so I said, there's a magic moment here. I get to get where I'm supposed to go. And just as I'm accelerating, the car pulled out in front of me. And being alert, I stopped my car. And then I thought about what we looked at church last Sunday. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. And honestly, I wanted to yell. But I just said, welcome to the road. I'm stopping for you. Don't worry that you ran a stop sign. It's not a problem. And I can remember thinking, how am I going to make this assignment work? Which, by the way, if you were in church last Sunday, I challenged out of Psalm 34, verse 1, to spend 1 week, 7 days, blessing the Lord at all times, letting his praise be on our lips nonstop. So let me tell you how far I got. Sunday lunch. Sunday lunch. And at that time, I still liked my son-in-law. But we were not getting good service. There were several things going on. And I mean, I was about to let this big complaint come out of my mouth. And my son looked at me and said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. And I'm thinking, I'm going to bless you by crushing you right here across this table. And it did. Hey, by the way, it got worse. Their smallest child likes to eat and then waller. In other words, eat and then smear whatever they have on you. And I noticed my son-in-law was on the other side of the table. I said, I think Adeline wants to be with you. Hey, no. He'll bless the Lord at all times because Adeline's with me. And I had on a shirt I hadn't worn before. And I was thinking, man, I hope she doesn't mess this thing up. And she'd been eating shrimp and all kinds of stuff. And she jumped in my arms because she was done eating, and she smeared her face all over my shirt. I'll bless the Lord at all time. I might beat this grandchild later, but for 7 days, I had to be sweet. Had to be kind. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I went home to that restaurant and thought, this is a lot harder assignment for the pastor than anyone. So I have a question for you, honest question. Was anyone able to bless the Lord all 7 days without any momentary lapse? If you did, raise your hand. Well, I tell you what I discovered. That promise, it'd take a lifetime to figure it out. Because I lost it just in the first day. But then I tried to come back to it. And on Friday, I did do better. Because I didn't yell at the lady. I didn't scream. And you know what's funny? She just smiled. Like, I got you. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, I bless the Lord. Or I'd get you. And so what happens is this. You got to be alert. And watch this. 85 South, heavy traffic, cars weaving in and out. It's exactly how life is. And what do we do sometimes? We don't even look in the mirror. We just think that lane belongs to us. And watch this carefully. God gives us lanes to get into to accomplish his purpose. You can do it very vividly. Here's what I want you to see principle-wise. Every blessing is preceded by battle. I mean, everything that comes at you. And Paul has this battle. He has this battle. And what I want you to get a hold of is this. The Bible says there's this giant roar. Big battle. Big fight. I listened to a testimony one of our members last night about the battles growing up. And I grew up in this kind of home. I grew up in a home where the only way you accomplished anything was yell louder. Maybe you grew up in one like that too. And I can remember thinking, man, this sure is loud. And what happens, Paul's hearing all this loud noise. He's hearing all this yelling. And watch this carefully. This uproar that he just experienced. You know, if you and I had been beaten up like he'd been beaten up and we'd been challenged by like he'd been challenged and found circumstances like that, we'd probably shrink back. What does he do? The Bible says he exhorted. All right, which means he brought something to them they needed no matter what. That's why the Bible says when we exhort, we do something powerful. So the uproar led to exhortation. But I want you to see something else because what happens is all of a sudden, verse 5, but these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. Now here's what you got to ask yourself. Who did he send ahead of him? People that represented all the churches that, or many of the churches that he'd been a part of. Berea and Thessalonica and all these Philippi, all these places. And he sent them ahead, but what you see is that all of a sudden, out of this, it opened the door for a plot that would lead to obedience. Because what happens is, the story doesn't seem to read well, and then all of a sudden, what does he do? Go to Troas, we're going to have an amazing week. We're going to have an amazing week. And what happened? We end up coming into an encounter that we never dreamed would have. Here's what happens to Paul. He's all overwhelmed by things. He said, man, I got to make this happen. I got to experience what God has for me. And I want you to remember this. When you face a challenge, don't let the challenge get the best of you. Surrender that challenge. Stay alert. Watch what happens. Because he may wake you up to something. He may say, you know what? You can do this. You can make it through it. I'll never forget. I was a kid one day when I asked my dad, why don't you go to church anymore? Why are you never in church? I'll never forget what he said. Which is interesting because when you read that passage in Matthew 24, you get it. You get it. My dad said, you know, a church full of hypocrites. I don't want to hang out with any of them. I said, really? I said, then I looked at him and said, are you one? Not really. They are. And I said, Dad, I mean, are you sure? I mean, I was younger, by the way, at that time. I was like, I had no idea. So I'll never forget when I started going to church. I thought, man, I've got to watch out here. A lot of hypocrites here. And I tell you what you discover. What you discover is when you put your eyes on yourself or somebody else, that your eyes on him, you're always going to see some kind of hypocrisy. And for my dad, he never woke up to the reality he could experience what God intended for him if he'd just wake up. I used to tell him every once in a while, my father was a really bad alcoholic, and I used to wake him up sometimes, and I say, you know what? You have got to wake up to life. You're missing this moment. You're missing our family. You're missing everything. And I'll never forget this so vividly. My father takes me to Germany. I'm losing my sight in my right eye. I'm being deemed as going blind in my right eye. My dad takes me from Germany to Walter Reed Hospital in Washington, D.C., takes me to the hospital. And on the plane, I looked at my dad and said, let me tell you something. There are times you can drink. This is not one of them. Don't you dare touch a drink. I'm going to be in this hospital with all these Vietnam veterans who are all blown up with missing limbs. And don't you leave me here by myself. I said, you set the alarm in your heart. Don't miss it. And I'll never forget, second day, my dad disappeared, went on a 5-day drunk, turned the alarm off. This is way before cell phones, by the way. You had to find them in particular bars. Washington, D.C., not the safest place to be hanging out in a bar when you're drunk. And I'll never forget, 5 days later, 5 days I sat there with people. that I never met before. Totally alert to everything, because I thought, I don't know what this is going to be about. 40 doctors looked inside my eye in one day. 40. But who was not standing there? The one guy who was supposed to be on the alert. So today I want you to think about this. What if God wants you to be on the alert? He don't want you to sleep through something. He wants you to take your assignment seriously and go for it. It could be that God could use you in an amazing way. What's interesting to me, my father's drunkenness drove me to something greater. It drove me straight to Jesus. Because I realized the one thing I needed to fill me up was the one who could change me forever. So today the challenge is clear. When you face something as big, Jesus is always bigger. Second thing I want you to see very quickly, and we're done. There's a prayer that led to supernatural power. Because what Paul does, he sees what's happening. In verse 9, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Now, I want you to imagine how startling it had to be at that moment. Because all of a sudden here is this amazing prayer that's about to be prayed. But everyone's sitting there going, we got a problem. And by the way, if we fall asleep on our assignment in life, what happens? Somebody else has to pick up that slack. And so what happens is all of a sudden, Paul begins to pray. And the Bible says very clearly, if you'll notice there, Paul went down in verse 10, fell upon him, embraced him, and said to him, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." I want you to think about what happened. Everybody heard that. Wow. He tells us we don't have to worry about it, that we can trust God, that he's going to take care of it. And see, what Paul's intent was to complete his message. And if Eutychus was dead, he'd have to stop preaching. He'd have to stop what he was doing. And instead, he goes down and hugged him. And by the way, I doubt Eutychus went to the third floor again. I bet he sat on the front row. I bet he sat right on the front for the rest of his life. I mean, if you fell out of the balcony, would you stay up there, Kevin? No, I think you'd come downstairs. All right, Daryl, if you fell out of that balcony, you're done with the balcony, aren't you? I mean, guys, what happened? We fall and we go, "Oh, man, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to wake up." And I want to ask you to think about this in your life. What would happen if you just woke up? Look at verse 12, and we're done. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. Which, by the way, when you think about this, you better be cautious when you sit in a place where you have accountability connected to it. And that was the caution Paul was. Eutychus fell out. He was a teenager. Boom. His life changed forever. And why don't you think about it? He gives us these caution flags, things that awaken us. But Paul's action, his act of faith, brought that boy back to life. And finally, I want to show you what happened. Because he prays, and the Bible uses the word, they were greatly comforted. Greatly comforted. And what I want to share with you before we finish is this. There's some great comfort that comes from dynamic faith. I mean, there's something powerful about it. And you know, it's interesting. When I think about being in his house and the faith that we have to trust him, there's something dynamic about it. Because we know we don't have to rely on ourselves. We can trust him. We know he can watch over us. We know he can guide us. And I end with this. My father showed up 5 days later at the hospital. I'm 13 years old. Showed up at the hospital. And he began to apologize. I looked at him. And it's interesting because at that time, certainly the Lord was not the key to my life. I said, "How could you do this? How could you leave me in this place without you?" And I'm going to tell you, when I think about that, how I thank God that Jesus never leaves us, never forsakes us. And from that, it drove me to a relationship. It drove me to a calling. It drove me to a lifetime of obeying him. You can't beat that. The question simply is this: are you awake? And if you're not awake, there's nothing I can do to wake you up. Eutychus woke up, and I'm telling you, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't record this. But I want to ask you something. Can you imagine how thankful he was after the fall? Which shows you something. You may have fallen. You may have gone through difficulty. You may have gone through heartache. But remember this. When you fall, pick yourself up and experience what God intends for you. Pick yourself up and experience the best of life. Because this may be your wake-up call today. Maybe you're here today and you know what? I need to be a part of something that challenges my spirit, that challenges my life. I want to invite you to make that choice. You know what? That's what I want. I want to give my heart to him. And it's interesting, by the way. Eutychus wouldn't have been in the room had he not had interest. But I guarantee he had a much more keen interest after being awakened by death. So today, if you think about your own life, ask yourself, are you awake? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word speaks to our lives. Thank you for the way that you speak to each one of us as we journey in our faith. Thank you, Lord, that we are awake to who you are. We are awake to what you want to accomplish. We're awake to how you want to give us an assignment in life. We're awake to this life you've given us. When I think about everyone here in this room are those who simply just need to wake up and say, you know what, I want that assignment. I want to accept that assignment. I want to become a part of what God's up to. I want to be a part of the family. I pray, Lord, that you bless and speak to people's hearts. I also pray that you would touch lives. Touch lives of everyone here, that they would all be awake to what you have for them. For Paul, it looked like the end, but it was really the beginning. Because when we obey, no matter how adverse our circumstances, no matter how challenging our issues, you're with us. So bless us, Lord, as we respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.